begun to do the sugya of Anim Hapik B'Charara. The Gemara in Kedushin has three anecdotes, where in each one the Gemara accused someone of doing something wrong, and each one he had a defense. The first one was Rav Bar Bar Chana gave money to Rav, he told me, buy me a certain parcel of real estate. The Shliach went and bought it for himself. The Gemara says, how could he do that? It says, that's called Ramos. That's deceitful, perfidious conduct. So the answer was that they weren't cooperating with the principal. They weren't going to give it to him, so I took it for myself. The story immediately previous to that, Rav and Chasida wanted to marry a certain woman. He went as an agent on behalf of his son. And instead, he wound up marrying the woman himself. The Gemara asks again, how could he do that? That's called Ramos. For a shliach to do this, that's Ramos, and that's wrong. Gemara says again, the same answer. The Gemara says the woman's family wouldn't have cooperated with his principal. They were willing to marry the woman to him, not to his son. The third story is the story of Rav Gidl and Rav Abba. Rav Gidl was trying to buy a certain piece of property. Rav Abba came in, swooped in, and grabbed it for himself. The Gemara eventually confronted Rav Gidl and says, how can you do that? It says, Anim Hapik B'Chararo Bar Chavnashon Mikra Rasha. He said, you're right, I didn't know. So these are the three examples of Isser we have in the Gemara. The first two are quite similar. It says that if someone goes on behalf of someone else as a shliach to either marry a woman or buy real estate and instead seizes the desired object for himself, that would normally be called Ramos without the dispensations of the Gemara. Those two stories are roughly the same. The third story has nothing to do with agency. It just has to do with someone who was working on acquiring a certain piece of karka. Someone else came in and grabbed it instead. That's something called rishus, and you shouldn't be doing that either. Again, you don't know in that case. But other than that, that would be something wrong. That would be rishus. So I want to discuss tonight a little bit these two stories, the first two versus the third. So first of all, the first two stories, he's called a Ramai, not a Rasha. In the third case, he's called a Rasha, not a Ramai. I want to discuss what is that all about? Are Rasha and Ramai synonyms? Are they different? If they're different, is Ramai worse than a Rasha? Not as bad as a Rasha? Is it simply incommensurate? Also to point out the basic distinction in the two stories, between the first two and the third, the first two stories involve an agent, and the third story just involves two rivals. What is the significance of that? All the discussion of these points revolves around one central, very interesting question, which is, does the prohibition of Ani Mahapek, the classic prohibition in the story of Rav Gidl, of rivals, does that apply to women? If the contested item is a woman, the two men are rivals for her hand, is there a din of Ani Mahapek if someone is planning on dating a certain woman, is maneuvering, trying to get himself an arranged marriage with the woman, whatever striving means in this culture, and someone else comes in at the last minute and snatches her away, is that a violation of Ani Mahapek B'Charara or not? So the poskim are split on this, and most poskim make the same point. They say what it really depends on is whether Ani Mahapek B'Charara applies to unique items or not. The most fundamental machlokes in our sugya, the main dispute, the main halachic point of contention in the entire sugya, which some of you may have seen already, is the machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and many other Rishonim on his side versus some Rishonim on the other side. Whether Ani Mahapek applies to Hefker and Metziah. Rabbeinu Tam, Tosus, and all the Rishonim bring, Rabbeinu Tam said it does not. Since Hefker items are unique, we can't just tell the second guy, go somewhere else. This is my only chance. Hefker is not just every street corner. There's no Ani Mahapek. Ani Mahapek only applies to items that are for sale and readily available, not to Hefker. Other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say Ani Mahapek applies even to Hefker. There's no distinction. Ani Mahapek always applies. And I mentioned last time, In Lakewood, we used to have Dinei Torah about Ani Mahapek B'Charara. The typical case was real estate. Real estate is not a metziah, obviously. It's not free. On the other hand, the typical defense of the second guy would usually be there's something unique about it. Price, the location. That would always be the Dinei Torah. The second guy would try to claim, based on remaining time, that this was not something that I could find somewhere else for whatever the reason. First guy would try to deny that and say it's not such a metziah. But this is the key machlokes, do we pass like Rabbeinu Tam or not? And if we do, what fits into his category of unique and something I can't get anywhere else? Now Tosfos, when he brings Rebbeinu Tam, extends Rebbeinu Tam to a case of a malama. Tosfos says that if I want a certain malama, and he's already in the employ of somebody else, I have the right to snatch him away, and there's no ani mahapech, because even though it's not free, I'm paying him the going rate. Nevertheless, malamdim are unique. Each one has his own set of skills and his own compatibility with kids. So I can always say, I need this malami. He's the right one for my son. And I can't just say, find another malami. No other malami will be as good for my, even if someone else will teach him successfully, nobody will be as good, nobody will provide as good an education or chinuch to my son. That's what Tosfos says. Some posts can extend this to workers in general. I can always claim that I need a certain worker. He fits into my corporate environment better than anybody else. Some posts can say it's limited to Malamed. You really have to have a working personal relationship. But whatever it is, the basic idea, Tosfos says, an extension of Rebbeinu Tam, that according to the Shita, that anything which is unique, there's no ani ma'apech, this can apply even to cases which are ordinary. I'm paying the going rate, but nevertheless, it's a unique and not interchangeable object. Therefore, many Acharonim argue that a shidduch is always like that. Women are not interchangeable. You might find someone else the same age and the same height and the same hair color, but that's where the similarity will end. No two people are exactly alike. And if I say, I want this woman, she's the one I need, my basheret, whatever you want to call it. So you can't just say, find someone else. What do you mean, find someone else? There's no one exactly like her. Therefore, many Acharonim argue that only Mabacharara does not apply to Shidduch. Ramosha Lansky makes this point in the Tshuva. Ramosha was asked straight out, I don't know if the question was a halacha l'maisa, a practical question, or they were just being mefalpel in the sugya. Someone actually asked Ramosha that if a girl is involved with somebody else and you think she's the girl for you, do you have the right to barge in and attempt to woo her away and take her for yourself? So Ramosha's Tshuva is complicated and has various details, but basically Ramosha takes for granted the basic point that assuming she's not yet engaged, once she's engaged, things change, but assuming she's not yet engaged, even if they're going out and they're serious and all that, they're in a committed or in a serious relationship that may be heading for marriage, as long as they're not actually engaged, Ramosha says, Nikra Din, you're allowed to steal her away for yourself. Because the Isser in question is only Mahapech B'Charara. He's already Mahapech in her. But he says, we pass him like Rebbeinu Tam, Ramosha claims. Not entirely clear how we pass him, Sfardim, Ashkenazim, but in general, Ramosha claims, as the most Ashkenazic poskim at least, that we pass him like Rebbeinu Tam. So Ramosha says, therefore, he takes for granted that Misha is like Hefker Metziah, not Hefker in the sense of Hefker, but Hefker in the sense of unique and an item that I can't easily find a substitute for. So therefore, Moshe says, Meikra Din, you're allowed to snatch away Anisha even if she's already involved with somebody else. Moshe does say at the end of the tshuva that it's not really the ideal thing to do. He says, Min haroi liyare Hashem lahachmer lachush l'svar rachmerna shishitas Rashi. Rashi holds that only Mahapach applies even to Efker, even to goods that are not substitutable. So Yare Shemayim, he says, should be machmer for Rashi. But Meikra Din, the halacha is like Halacha is like Rebbeinu Tam, Mikra Din, it would be mutter. And this is also the assumption of many other Acharonim, the Emre Yosher, Rebbeir Arik, Marshal, the Nodbi Huda, who all take for granted that an Isha, because women are unique, because each woman is different, therefore there is no Isra of Anim HaBacharara to steal away an Isha. Most of them were discussing, theoretically, they weren't discussing Halacha Maisa, but they won't make this point that there will be no Isra Roni Ma'apet according to the Shita of Rebbeinu Tam, according to the Shita of Tosfos.
If he's trying to woo her, but he's not being very successful, I'm assuming there'd be no Isra then in that case. If he had someone else to try to... He's interested, but she's not interested.
So that's a very good point. Ramosha makes that point too. A second reason Ramosha says why there often won't be Roni Ma'apet in an earlier stage in the Shidduch is because there's a rule, we haven't seen it yet, at least on the sources, but there is a major Shita Saposkin, which we're asking like, that what is the definition of Mahapik? I mentioned last time that a big part of the sugya also is how we define Mahapik. So we paskin that simply the fact that you're interested and you've expended some effort doesn't make you a Mahapik yet. In cases that involve two parties where you need someone else's to sign off on a deal, until the other side agrees, that's not Mahapik. The fact that you're working on him, your attempt to sell him on the deal, if you don't have a meeting of the minds, if both parties have not yet agreed, then there's no ani ma'apech. Now, there are shitas that say even if they haven't reached final agreement, but if there are no obstacles and they're heading toward agreement, even if they're still in negotiations, That may be yes, but certainly if the other party says no, in your case where she's not interested, or even in the case where they don't know, they're a third or fourth date, they haven't decided yet, you know, they both think it has promise, they might have a good feeling about it, but they certainly haven't decided, you know, they're not ready yet. So in such a case, that's another reason they'll be nodding the hapech, simply because, well, as we say, there's no pisik damim, there's no meaning in the mind yet, that would be another reason why they might not be nodding the hapech and shidduchim. But even more than that, even if there is a meaning in the mind, engage would be different, Moshe says, for reasons that are beyond the scope of tonight's discussion. But if they're not really engaged, even if they're pretty serious, and even if it looks like it's heading toward engagement, if they aren't actually engaged, Ramosha says, and you have this other svara that she's like a metzia, and therefore anyone else can snatch her away. There are Acharim who disagree. One seems to be the Mesivus. Getting back to our original point, Rabbi in Russia, which one is it? So some poskim argue that in the case of the Shliach, certainly in the case of the Shliach and the Isha, you would only be a Rami, not a Rasha. You would not be a Rasha because the Isha is like a Matiah, and there's no any Mahapech on Isha, so all you're left with is Rami. If you betray the Shliach's trust, that's Ramos. But Ani Mahapech would not apply. The Nesivus, however, says just the opposite. The Nesivus says that the din of Rami is built upon the din of Rasha. If you're a Rasha for doing Ani Mahapech, then if you add to that perfidy against the Mishaleach, you become a rabbi also. But only if the basic action is one of rishus. Therefore, the Nesivus says, if we're dealing with a Metziah, a literal Metziah, if I send a Shliach to go pick up that lost item in the street, and I decide to grab it myself, then the Nesivus says, you've done nothing wrong. You can't be a Rasha because it's a Metziah, we pass it like a minute of time. Once you're not a Rasha, you're not a rabbi either. Rabbi is only if we first establish that you're a Rasha for interfering with his deal. So then Reyesher says in the sequence, he says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, in the Gemara talks about a case of Isha. Isha, he says, is certainly a question of Metziah, because the Isha is unique, and you're certainly not a Rasha, and still you're called a Rami. So the Rameir Arik says, you're talking not a Rasha because she's a Metziah, but still you're a Rami. Because Rami, he seems to assume, as many Acharim do, is a lesser, or at least different idea than Rasha. Interfering with somebody else makes you a Rasha. Betraying a commission, that makes you a Rami. One point the post can make is that the Rambam seems to equate Rambam and Rasha, because the Rambam, he only brings Ani Mahapech, this whole sugya with all the different cases, he only brings it in one place in the Arach HaZaka, he only brings in Hilchos Ishus. He begins by bringing the din that a Shliach who betrays his commission and snatches her for himself is doing something wrong. He uses the language Rasha and not Rambam. So, the Gemara said Rambam, the Rambam says Rasha. The Samacharim say, Rasha and Rambam are interchangeable terms in the Rambam. They both mean you're doing something wrong. Call you a Rami, call you a Rasha. The Yehuda brings different rayas. The Chacham brings different rayas. That Rami is called a Rasha and vice versa. So the Rambam seems to learn that the Rami and Rasha are interchangeable. As to the question of whether it's because of the betrayal of trust or because of the interference with the woman that he was working on, so the Chemda Shlomo has a tshuva about this, where he initially begins with the assumption of most Chacharim or Moshe and the Marshal, that there is no Ani Mahapech on an Isha because she's like Hefker. But then he says, we have a big problem with the Rambam, because the Rambam brings it in of the Shliach who betrays his trust, and then says, B'chein kol chiyotzi b'zeh mekach u'memkar. Now, if betraying trust is a special din, and it's not the same din that interfering two ordinary non-shluchim interfering with each other is, the Rambam has to bring that in too. He left out an important din. And the Shlomo therefore concludes that according to the Rambam, interference, that betraying your commission is not the issue. The issue is simple Ani Mahapech. In all three cases in the Gemara, the fact that he was a Shliach doesn't really change anything. The real problem is that you simply interfered with a project somebody else was working on. And even though it's Hefker, you're still called, even though it's an Isha, you're still called a Rasha. And if we assume the Rambam holds like Rebbeinu Tam, that Ani Mahapech does not apply to Hefker, which will come to Shlomo assumes, he infers that from the Rambam, still the Rambam says that you're a Rasha even in the context of an Isha, and not because of the betrayal of the Shlichus. So he concludes, an Isha is not considered sufficiently unique, it's not considered like the case of the Malamed, and therefore Ani Mahapech applies, even according to Rebbeinu Tam, even to an Isha. Hard to understand why an Isha should be seen as more interchangeable than a Rebbe for your kid. It's hard to accept, and indeed, as we said, most Acharonim disagree. Most Acharonim say that an Isha is considered unique, but again, not all. Kama Shlomo doesn't seem to agree, the Nesivus doesn't seem to agree, because the Nesivus says that in the case of Metziah, there is no Din Rami or Rasha, And he obviously assumed that in the case of Isha, where there is a Din Ramah and Rasha, it's because he assumed also that the Isha is, that an Isha is not considered unique, is not considered like a Metziah. So those are basically the different approaches to our Gemara. Some learn Ramah and Rasha are interchangeable. And in the first Gemara, when the Gemara calls Ramah, some learn that you're basically a Rasha and just for the same reason as the other case, because you interfered with something somebody else wanted. Others learn that's not the issue in the first Gemara. Simple interference is not the issue over there, both because it's a Metziah. Marshall says another svara because of the period of Arivia, that it's a mitzvah, so anyway, we wouldn't be some makbid. The real issue with the first Gemara is the betrayal of trust, the fact that he trusted you and he relied on you when he didn't take other steps he could have done. You accepted, you should have told him right away, maybe I'm not going to do it, maybe I'll take her for myself if I like her. You didn't tell him that, you misled him, he relied on you, he trusted you. That's the issue, and that's what we call Ramah. That's something different from Russia. Might be less than Russia, might be more than Russia, most of her seem to assume it's less. Anyway, it's a different issue than Russia, and except for the Rambam, who calls that Russia, the Rambam does not seem to have any distinction between the two categories.
Is there enough Kamina, what we call?
So the Sma says, we're going to get to the Sma eventually. The Sma says that if someone violates Ani Mahapach and is called a Russia, we are allowed to publicly call them a Russia. Normally, you can't go around calling your fellow Jews Rasharim, but in this case, you can. So Rav Moshe, I think, actually points out that if you learn that in the case of the Isha, you're not a Rasha because it's like Hefker or Metziah, it's unique. Just you're a rabbi for betraying your trust. Rav Moshe says you would not be allowed to go around calling him a Rasha. I don't know if you'd be allowed to go calling him a rabbi. Rav Moshe, I think, indicates that you would not. Rav Moshe says that lo matzinu zeh b'karal fesha esamaser amos. Rav Moshe implies that this din of publicizing him as a villain does not apply to a rabbi, just to someone whose villainy reaches the level of Russia. So other than that, I don't know, but at least in terms of the terminology, you wouldn't be called a Russian.